In a few days, we will have a holiday called Thanksgiving. And I want to preach on this morning the subject of being thankful. I want to start in 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3 and 1. Desire your prayers. Yes. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. I said here in the second verse, said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I could be wrong, but I think we're living in a very unthankful time. Yes. In the United States today. People are not thankful like they ought to be, especially to God. Now, the bottom line is we're here because of God. Yeah. Our very life is here because of God. Everything we have is come from God.
Yes.
So consequently, we need to have a Thanksgiving Day every day, many times in a day.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I go around thanking God quite a bit through the day. Right at home there, I start out in my first prayers of the day thanking Him for different things. We'll get into that later. But then as I go around, I think about something, I think, well, thank the Lord. Yes. And go around thinking about something, well, thank the Lord. I just got in a habit of doing that. I don't know how many of you do that, but I do it quite a bit. So today is I've got a definition wrote down here somewhere. Thanks would be our freely and openly thanking our Savior for all things. Not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day. And if we think about where we come from, over here in 139 of Psalms, it brings up a point that we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. If I can find Psalms, I'll be all right. The 139 and 14. It said, I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect. And in the book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Now, he's sitting here. I was reading this a little bit earlier this morning. And he said, I'll praise thee. I will thank thee. I'll bless thee, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of us is different. Men are all the same, but they're different. Women are all the same, but they're different. We're all the same. Every race, the only difference in the difference between races is the color of our skin. Internally, we're all the same. And God had his way of making that and doing that. But I think about the 17th verse says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How precious. In other words, what he's saying here is God looked down on him. and spent some time with him and creating him exactly like he was. Think about that, folks. I've been awed so much in the last, I don't know, year, maybe year and a half, of the very fact of the thought that God is in our midst with us right here this morning. He's here.
Yes.
He's blessing. He's working. He's doing things for us right here. God. Now, we're not anybody. I'm not anything special. You're not anything special. Brother Marty and I was talking here, I don't know, maybe a year ago, and he said, the bottom line is, Carl, it's not about us. It's about him. He's the main one. If we don't have him, we're in trouble. We're in trouble in every way, shape, form, or fashion. This world is in trouble. You know why? Because they've turned their back on God. They've run from him. They've gotten darkness because they've rejected the light. They don't have anything to do with him. In California here, I don't know, 2 years ago maybe, they had a sign said, "We don't want you, God. We don't want you around." And then about 2 weeks later, when the fires were burning in Northern California and burned all them homes up, you know what they said? God, aren't you going to have mercy? Aren't you going to have mercy? I mean, you don't throw God out one day and bring him back the next, so to speak. Not like that anyway. So he's looking here. He's thinking of what I am. I am what I am because of God. Thank the Lord this morning. Some of us were maybe a little more talented than others and so forth. But the bottom line is we're still fearfully and wonderfully made. All right, let's go to Mark 8 and 6. 8 and 6, we'll bring up two places in John 11. And here it is, he's fixing to feed some people, and he commanded the people to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And he said, and he gave thanks. Now this is our Savior. He is fixing to work a miracle, and he's thanking God for the power to be able to do that. Thanking God that he has the people there to feed. Thanking him that there is something to work with. Not a big old steak dinner, fishes and loaves, but the bottom line was they were all fed and satisfied when he got through with them. Listen, this morning, we may not always get steak out of the pulpit, but the bottom line is we can be blessed and full by what God has given to us. All right, John 11 here. John 11. This is a raising of Lazarus here. And about the 41st verse here. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now then think about what thou saying. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Thank God he raised him from the dead. This morning there's people out there that can be raised from the dead, spiritually dead now. You and I can be raised, have been. We've already been raised from the dead. The dead state of sin and mullet grubs of sin and so forth. And the Lord come along and he dealt with us. We responded to that voice. We responded to that conviction. We responded to that love. And he touched us. And when he did, he saved us and set our feet on a solid rock and established our going and done something for us that nobody else could do. He said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Now then, you know another part of this? I believe, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He's got faith in God. He's got faith that when he prays and looks to God, God's going to work. Well, Brother Carl, he's got power. Yes, he does. But you and I need to have that kind of faith that when we say, "Lord, I am praying, I'm asking you to touch them, I'm asking you to save them, I'm asking you," that we have faith mixed with our prayer, faith mixed with our mind and our heart said that God is going to do something for the person or persons that we're praying for. So Christ was thankful. All right, let's look back here at Luke. Just hang with me. I'm getting to a point here. But I want to go through a few things. 17 of Luke. And about the 12th verse, 12, 17 and 12. Well, 17, 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain building, they met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now then, leprosy is a very horrible thing. I don't know if any of you has ever seen a person with leprosy. I don't think I have. And it's not much out there anymore because modern science and technology is taking care of that. But back then, it was very much dreaded. It would eat your fingers plumb off your hands. It would do your toes. It would do great disfigurement to the body. And if I'm not mistaken, it'd kill you too. So leprosy was something feared. These men had something that they couldn't do anything about. They put them in leper colonies. Today, they do, like I say, they could work with, they could take care of it. But back then, they couldn't. Listen, folks, today, when you and I are in sin and given to sin, this to me represents salvation. But the bottom line also, when we were back there in sin and given to it, what happened? We didn't have no power. We were in a mess. We couldn't change ourselves. We couldn't help ourselves. We were down in the mud and grubs. We were cussing and fussing and fighting and drinking and smoking and drugging and all of this kind of stuff. And we couldn't help ourselves. These men couldn't help themselves. These men were in a mess. They needed help. And they found out the only one person that could help them was Jesus. No doubt they had heard about Jesus. They had heard about his power. They had heard about what he could do. So consequently, he's coming by, and they started crying out. They lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go shew yourselves to the priest. Now, there's a reason for that statement. It was in the law and so forth. And they had to do that. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So all of them were cleansed, all 10 of them. They were all cleansed. But then 9 went their way, but the worst one, according to Clark, I believe it was, or Gill, one of them said there that probably the other 9 were Jews. This one was a Samaritan. He was worse than all of them others. And the bottom line was the worst of the bad of the bad. He's the one that turned around and come back to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing this for me. This morning, we ought to be extra thankful for the very fact that Jesus come by our way, called us, redeemed us, and washed us, and done things for us that nobody else could do. Listen, folks, you couldn't give that stuff up. It had you bound. It had you tied. It had you chained. You and I were in a mess when we were back there in that. But Jesus delivered us. That morning, October 31st of 1971, when I got saved, I was under conviction for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months maybe. The young people, I want to tell you something this morning. You can live a life. You can live a life that will challenge people. The young people in Guthrie and the other congregations, as I had started going to church in May and the camp meeting of 1971, and there I was, and I looked at them, and I watched them. They were happy. They were free. They had something this old boy didn't have. Daddy made fairly good money. We lived in a big home. We had cars. We had nearly, in a sense, within reason, about anything we wanted. But I didn't have happiness. I didn't have joy. I didn't have peace. And I'd watch them, and they were so happy. And then the Lord said, come unto me, child. Come on. And he worked with me and worked with me. And finally, I yielded my heart that morning. I had held out because I wanted to be rich. I wanted to have a lot of money and homes and businesses and so forth. That's what I was working to be. But the bottom line was, he said, come unto me. Come on. And so I got in the car. Brother Lloyd Eck come down there. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. And he worked for me for 3 hours that night and tried to get me to get saved, and I wouldn't do it. He finally in desperation said, Carl, if you just kneel down here and ask for mercy, the Lord will save you. But I wouldn't do it. I just kept putting up my resistance. The Lord climbed in the car with me and he rode home. And as we went home, he was looking down, so to speak, with his love and his mercy. And he spoke unto me and he said, you can be ever so rich, child, and I can take it all away in a moment's time. Never thought about that. And then he brought out Brother Lloyd had lost a relative. I think it was a cousin had gotten killed. He wasn't very old like I was. And he'd gotten killed, I believe, in a car wreck and gone out into eternity. He said, you could die and go out into eternity. I hadn't thought about that neither. I got home and I got ready for bed, and I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep. Finally, I pushed it as far and shoved it back as far as I could. I finally fell on my knees and begged for mercy, and the Lord saved me that night. He'd done what nobody else could do, and I appreciate it. Listen, seems like these old boys, or this one boy, this one man, the bottom line was the worst of all 10 of them. He was the worst, but he's the one that turned around and give thanks. Seemed like those among us that was the deepest in sin is the one that's got the most thanksgiving for God. But it don't have to be that way. The bottom line is he done something for you that nobody else could do. No doctor could do it. No president could do it. A king or queen or a lawyer or a judge or anything. Nobody could save you but Jesus Christ. And he done what nobody else could do. We owe him our thanksgiving. Yes. We need to thank him every day for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for blessing me and helping me. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 4. 1 Timothy 4 and 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now then, we need to thank the Lord for our food. Every time we eat, Lord willing, we need to bow our heads and thank the Lord because, again, everything we have comes from him. Yes. If we have a steak, fried chicken, roast beef, ham, whatever might be the deal, it come from God. My mother, when she got so bad, we had to put her in a nursing home because wife and I couldn't take care of her because she was homeschooling and I was working. Craig and Debbie couldn't do it because they were both working. So we had to put her in a nursing home and we didn't want to do that. And we got to cleaning through the house and doing things and we found out she had enough food there for 5 people. All of it, well, really 7 people because there were 7 of us when we were all at home, 5 children, 2 grown-ups, and she had enough food for all 7. Plenty of food. Was she thankful for it? I don't know. I figure she was to an extent. But listen, folks, we should be thankful to God if we have a hamburger, if we have a steak, if we have prime rib, no matter what it might be, we need to thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. For we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Now, Paul writing here, and he is appreciative of the brethren. Lord, help us that we be appreciative of the brethren. Yes. Thank the Lord for what we have. Thank the Lord for who we know. One minister told me one time, oh, this was probably back in, I guess, probably the early 80s when I went full time. And he said, Brother Carl, you're adopted. Yeah. The bottom line is God had his hand on you before you was ever born. He got you to the place he wanted you to be, to the person that knew the saints, that when you got old enough and God started dealing and you started looking, so to speak, I tried daddy's family was Baptist. Mama's was Church of God. And I looked at both sides of it. I did. But I liked the Church of God the best, and I went that way. All right, he says here, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now then, said we're bound to thank, here's a translation on this, bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. We owe a constant debt of thanksgiving to God, brethren, on your behalf. We have good reason for it, because your faith groweth exceedingly, because your faith is grown abundantly, because your faith is greatly enlarged. Now, the bottom line is, what Paul is saying here partially is this. Everybody in the Church of God, that their faith is growing, that's good for everybody in the church. It's good for God. And maybe it's good for Brother Paul, so to speak. But the bottom line is, when we're growing in the things of God, it's good for all of those around us, because we can be a blessing to people. And it said, in the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. And because without exception, your love for one another is continually increasing. And your love for one another exceeds all measure. And the love you have each for all and all for each grows ever greatest. Now then, Lord, help us that we are appreciating the Church of God. We're loving the brethren. We're thankful to have them, know them, be involved with them. There is not another body of people outside of the Church of God that is like we are. It is a wonderful body of people, and I've been with them over 50 years now, about 53 years, I guess, and I appreciate the fact that I know them. I know the Church of God. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 2 and 6 through 9. Colossians 2 and 6 through 9. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now he said here, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith that you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now then, rooted and built up in him. How did you get that away? Did you just do it on your own? No. The Lord, and there's another scripture we'll quote later or talk about later, but let's see, I want this right here also. It said here, we owe a constant debt of thanksgiving to God, brethren, on your behalf. We have good reason for it, because your faith groweth abundantly, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and because without exception, your love for each other is continually increasing. No, that's the one I've already read. Well, I guess I don't have the notes on that like I thought I did. So he says here, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Would you say that you're abounding therein with thanksgiving? Thankful, over and over, really excited, so to speak, for living for the Lord? Are you really abundantly reaching out and thanking God for what he has done for you, where he's brought you to, how he's done it? Oh, Lord, help us to be that way.
Yes.
All right, let's get down now then to where I'm wanting to get to. We'll start with Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Brother Leslie preached a message one time right on this, about starting about the 14th or 15th verse of this chapter. And he dealt with all these rejoicing and pray without ceasing and so forth. But said, in everything give thanks.
Yes.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then 1 Peter 5 and 10. And said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, we need to thank the Lord, of course, for salvation, for his sanctification. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't sanctify ourselves. That's all a spiritual power, a spiritual work by the work of God. Christ and the Holy Spirit. We need to thank him for his love, his mercy, his pity, his compassion, his grace, his strength, his blessings, his help, his goodness, his forgiveness. I made a mistake, and I don't know. I looked to the Lord and asked his forgiveness for it. It wasn't no big deal, but I still felt like I needed to ask forgiveness for it. And so I did. Well, knowing me, I like to double check myself. So about 2 weeks later, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was praying. And again, I was talking to the Lord about this little thing that I'd done. And he stopped me. And he said, what does the Bible tell you? I said, it tells me to be forgiving. He said, child, I am the Father, the Spirit of forgiveness. I'm the Spirit of it. You and I are going to make mistakes. We're not able to live perfect. It's going to be, we're going to have to ask the Lord. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to speak out of turn sometimes. We're going to maybe do something and then think about it later and thought, no, I shouldn't have done that. And ask him for his forgiveness. And he forgives us. You know why? Because he loves us. He wants us to get to heaven. He's doing everything in his power to get you and I to heaven.
Yes.
His help for you and I. I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Well, you know what I preached last Sunday. And the bottom line is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's his help that's going to help us get there. We ain't going to do it by ourselves. His blessings. Are we thanking the Lord enough for these things? One thing that bothers me is that we're too quiet as a body in meeting, I'm talking about. And I'm not going to down anybody. This is my thought on it. If you look at people out in the world, if you would go to a ball game or whatever, do you know what they do at them games? They hoop and they holler, they raise signs, they jump, they shout, they go crazy if somebody wins. Or if they score a touchdown, maybe, or make a basket, it's just hoopla. And they don't have what we got, and we barely open our mouths. Sometimes we don't open our mouths. Brother Charles Smith one time, many years ago, this was, this probably happened before I got saved, but he said that he was in a meeting and the Lord was extremely blessing the service. And he said he jumped up and shouted, and he was on the front bench, and he happened to look behind him and said nearly everybody in that church was on their feet shouting. I've never seen that. Hadn't seen anything close to it. So, Lord, help us. Yes. This is God. This is Him blessing us, coming down, working with us, and doing things for us. And yet we sit here like we don't even know who He is. How many of you can say thank the Lord this morning? All right, that's better. But we ought to say amen. We've got something that other people in sin don't have, a great blessing by the power of God, the redemption of God, and the working of God. And if you and I, we need to bless Him. We need to thank Him for His blessings, but we need to bless Him. All right, now then, 1 Thessalonians over here. He said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Now then, what I believe he's saying here is everything that comes our way, whether it be good, bad, or ugly, is by the will of God. Yes. We get sick. We have an accident. I mean, I've been through a bunch of it lately. For over a year and a half, it's been one thing right after another with me. And I was walking the floor one night when I couldn't sleep and I had so much pain in my feet. This had been over about a year ago. Yeah, probably about a year ago. And I was walking the floor and I said, Lord, have mercy. And He gave me a scripture. You know what it was? In your patience, possess you your souls. In other words, child, just be patient. This is me working. He's trying to deepen us. He's trying to broaden us, so to speak. He's trying to get things to us that we cannot get ourselves. And He's working to establish and settle and strengthen and bless you. And it takes time. It takes work by the Spirit of God. And Lord, help you and I when we're going through it, that we say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord's working.
Yes.
Do you know how valuable that is? Do you know when the President of the United States is busy and working, you know, and doing all these things, people say, well, he's been busy. He's getting this done and this done and this done. Yeah? But that's not our Savior. That's our President. We have somebody greater than all elected officials or appointed kings and queens in the royal family and so forth. We had Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He's coming down and He's working with us to help you and I to be exactly what He wants us to be.
Yes.
And are we thanking Him enough? I never wanted to preach. One reason was, you know why? Because the one preacher I knew as a boy, he didn't own anything except his car and his wife. He didn't own his wife, but he married. And he lived with his sister and her husband. And he traveled and so forth. And I thought, well, if ever a preacher like that, I don't want to be a preacher. I do not want to be a preacher. And I held out against it somewhat. And it took him a little while, but he just kept easily working with me. And then I was going to go to Sebulba. And he had been dealing with me for a good little while. And I said, well, Lord, if you'd want me to take something up there with me, I would. And he started giving me something. And I started crawfishing like a big old crawfish trying to get out of that. And it didn't work. He just kept pouring it on. I got so sick with the cold, I couldn't hardly talk. I was so congested in my head, my throat, and so forth. And here it is Saturday night, and I got in and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, I got to be able to talk. By Sunday morning, I was totally well. I mean, everything. I had three fleeces that I put out. I can't remember what the third one was, but another one was a good friend of mine. He was going with a young lady in another area, and he was over there with her quite a bit. I said, I want him, Lord, to be there with me for my support. Because they didn't know me much at Sepulpa. They do now, but they didn't then. At least I don't think they did. And Brother Madden did. So he didn't show up till in between regular service or Sunday school and regular service. I'm thinking, well, I'm out of this deal. And here he comes walking in. Would you doubt your calling if you had answers like that? He's working, see? He's trying to get me. And I have been thankful for my calling. I thank him every day, at least once a day. Lord, thank you for my calling. I didn't want to do it. I'm nothing special, but the bottom line is he wanted little old me to try to be a blessing to people. He come walking in. Brother Madden got up. Now, I don't know how many of you even know him, but he was a man that wasn't long-winded. About 45 minutes would be about the length of his preaching. So he preached 30 to 45 minutes, and he got out and come back to his pew, and a little bit he said, folks, somebody else in this congregation's got a message this morning, and we want to hear it. He said, don't take it home with you. My old heart's pounding, about to jump out of my chest, and I'm standing there, and I'm trembling, so to speak, and shook up, and he said it again. I think we sung one song, and still he wouldn't quit. So finally I made my move. I thought, well, I'll get up there by the altar. I started. I just come all the way to the pulpit. And when I started in, my message dovetailed right into his message, and I preached about 15 minutes of what he had already. I mean, it wasn't word for word, but it connected in with it. That was God, folks. That wasn't me.
Yes.
I couldn't make myself well. I didn't take any medicine or anything. The Lord come down. And the bottom line is God has been working with his ministers down through the years. And it's not a pretty scene sometimes. And the fact that the afflictions we go through and the battles and the problems and the trouble, it's hard. It's not easy. But the bottom line is he's wanting every one of us to get to heaven. And he wants us to be of a thankful heart. I thank thee, Lord. In everything, give thanks, not some things. All right. Now, then, let's one more thing here. I don't know what time it is. Well, I ain't done too bad. All right, what happens? Well, all right, let's say here, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God. In other words, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you in everything. Now, what all does that cover? Everything. You get sick. Should you be thankful for a sickness? Yes. If you get in a car accident, should you be thankful for a car accident? Yes. Loss of a job, can't get one? Yes. Someone against us. Have you ever had anybody against you trying to do you harm and damage? I have. And what did last week I read? Remember the scripture over there in Corinthians where it said Paul was praying and the Lord was working and Paul was saying, remove this thorn from the flesh. Lord, help me here. And what did the Lord tell him? He said, my grace is what? My grace is what? All right, there you go. Sufficient. My grace is sufficient. In other words, I've got sufficient grace. I want you to have abounding thanksgiving. Woo! Abounding, lots, much. Because this is the will of God, see? He's working with us. All right? There have been times, I know a case of two preachers. One of them had a motorhome, not a motorhome, but a travel trailer. And the Lord blessed him with money, and he felt like he wanted a newer one, so he went and he bought a new one. But his good friend that I knew both these ministers, they worked together. No, I did not know one of them. One of them died before I got saved, but I knew the other one. And so the one that had the travel trailer, he goes and buys another travel trailer. He's got two now. And the one would like to have one. And he thought, well, this ain't right. He's got two and I have none. But he said, wife, what we're going to do is we're going to go over there and we're going to be thankful and tell him how much we appreciate and all of everything the Lord's doing. Okay, honey, let's go. So they went. And they thanked God and they thanked him, or was saying, you know, boy, this is a nice travel trailer and so forth. And the one that had two gave the one that had none, and they both had one. Because of thanksgiving, see? Yeah. Thankful. There's another one that the Lord showed him that I'm going to give you a travel trailer. And so he actually went out by faith and bought some things to go with the travel trailer, and he didn't even have it. And he come home, and his daughter said, "What'd you do that for, Dad? You don't even have a travel trailer." "I've got it by faith, child." So about 2 weeks later, if I remember the time right, 2 weeks later, a letter come. And the daughter that challenged him got the deal, and she saw the name, and I guess it triggered what could be. And he said she jumped actually over a fence running to get to him, shouting. And he opened it up. He said, "Here it is, daughter. This is my travel trailer. We'll go get it." Listen, folks, the Lord wants us to be blessed. But he wants us to be thankful.
Yes.
He's blessing us, but he wants us to be thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. The hard times, the pressure times. I've been there. I come in one night. I was so hurt by somebody. I don't hardly remember anything except this. I knelt down and I'd done nothing but cry. I didn't say one word. I just bawled. This had been many years ago before I'd ever married. And cried and cried and cried. And the Lord began to bless me. And I got up on my feet. And I felt like he knew everything I was crying about and all about it. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. Life's not going to be a... It's not going to be a bed of roses all the time. It's going to be some tough times. But he said, "In everything give thanks." Everything. "For this is the will of God." Everything that touches us is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right, let's finish. Philippians. The fourth chapter and the sixth verse. Philippians 4 and 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Now then, that's right in there where we just above where our Sunday school was this morning. So I said, "Be careful for nothing." That's the other one I have here to read. "Be careful for nothing. It means in nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything. Entertain no worry." Do we all have perfect works with that? In other words, do we ever have any anxious moments or anything troubling us or worrying about anything? Lord help us. Had a man, he was doing some work for me in the congregation when I was at Guthrie, and he had a business, and he had been prosperous in his business. And something was said about his wife. He goes, "Carl, she's the biggest worry wart." She is. And the congregation, she come out extremely positive. You would never know anything ever bothered her because it was always, I never heard her that much because of that. When she was there, I wasn't there. That's before I was pastoring or after I was pastoring, whatever. And anyway, somebody told me she took a talking about a light bulb one night and made that the most beautiful setup you could ever ask for. And I said, "She's a worry wart?" "Yeah, she's a worry wart." It said, "Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything." Lord, help us here. "But in everything by prayer and supplication." Now, supplication would be praying about something and praying more, wouldn't it?
Yes.
"With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But by prayer and earnest pleadings, together with thanksgiving, let your requests be unreservedly made known before God." You can have your prayer. You can beg and plead. You can cry, but be thankful.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. God, you have been good to me. You have taken care of me. You watched over me all down through the years. Even as you young people this morning, he has been with you and helped you and taken care of you, even in your young age. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
Lord, help us. Thanksgiving's coming, but every day is Thanksgiving Day with God.
Yes.
We appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers. Pray for me.